Engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through Him, and without Him nothing came to be. What came to be through Him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came to be through him, but the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not accept him. But to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not by natural generation, nor by human choice, nor by a man's decision, but of God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we saw his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'The one who is coming after me ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace. Because while the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only Son, God, who is at the Father's side, has revealed him." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, all of us here at Priests for Life renew our best wishes and prayers to you and your families and friends for a blessed and merry Christmas. This truly is one of the greatest feasts of the year, and it is such a privilege for us to be able to connect with you and worship the Lord and rejoice in the Lord along with you. And why do we rejoice? Well, I want to answer that in three ways today. What happened at Christmas? How does it involve us? And what do we do about it? What happened is made pretty clear in these readings. We just heard the beginning, actually, of the Gospel of John. And it said that the Word always existed and, in fact, was and is God. So Jesus did not begin existing at Christmas. What he began doing in the incarnation, and this is the feast, the entire feast of his becoming human, because of course the moment when he becomes human is actually his conception, and then 9 months later he is born. While we focus historically on the event of his birth, Christmas celebrates the whole mystery of God becoming human. Christmas is when he began sharing our human nature, but he as a person always existed. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is Jesus. So what happens at Christmas is that this eternal God, who again, as the same gospel says, is at the Father's side and is God, appears in human language. He speaks in human language. He appears among us as one of us. God wants us to approach him, and so he becomes approachable by becoming a little baby. Who doesn't want to approach a baby? Who doesn't smile when they see a baby? God is saying something to us. He's saying, yes, I am almighty. I am eternal. I am the awesome judge before whom nations and kings tremble. And you remember on Mount Sinai, there was lightning and clouds and thunder, and people were afraid to get anywhere near it. There is that dimension of God that is real. But today he shows himself as a little baby, and it's not just an apparition. He really becomes a baby because he wants to say to us, I, who am the eternal, all-powerful God, want you to be able to approach me with the ease with which you approach a baby. He is Lord at his birth. He is the eternal Word of the Father. So this is what happens at Christmas. What does it have to do with us? This Jesus appears and comes and becomes human in order to save us. This is the salvation of God now that we see right before our eyes. Because we have been under the burden of sin and of death and of despair ever since the beginning of human history, and God has promised to lift us out of that. Today he fulfills that promise, because in Jesus Christ, sin is forgiven, his blood is shed on the cross, our humanity is brought to the heights of heaven, we are renewed, he came for us. This is the feast of not only God sharing human nature, but then the rest of the story is that human nature now shares in the nature of God. And that's what we prayed in the opening prayer of the Mass. It's actually a prayer that is said in every Mass. When the priest pours a little bit of water into the wine, the water and the wine symbolically represent two different natures, human nature, divine nature. And by pouring some water into the wine, we are seeing the mixture, the union of those two natures. Well, that's what happens in the incarnation. God now begins existing in a human nature. But why? So that we human beings can begin sharing God's nature. And that, when you think about it, is completely astonishing. We live our human life, and we know our human limitations. But at Christmas, we're invited and we're empowered to become sharers of God's own nature. We heard it just now in this opening passage of John's Gospel. He came to his own, some rejected him, but to those who accepted him, listen to what John says. He gave power to become children of God. That's the Christmas gift God gives us. Together with all the good things that we have and that we should enjoy, here's the key fundamental one. He gave us power to become children of God. That means, yes, we have our human life. Yes, we know our human limitations. But now we're also sharing in God's life, and therefore we can do certain things beyond our human limitations. And that's why it's important that in Christmas, when we talk about generosity and kindness and gift giving, that is part of the fruit of Christmas, but we can't forget the foundation from which it flows. The exchanging of gifts at Christmas has its basis in this exchanging of natures between God and humanity. What's the gift we give to God? Our humanity. In the womb of the Virgin Mary, he takes on a human body and a human soul. What's the gift he gives to us? A share in his divinity. So that now we can know things that we could not know just from human reason. We have the gift of faith. And it's a certainty. We can hope in ways that are beyond human ability to hope. And we can love in ways that are beyond our ordinary human strength. When we know we have to forgive people, well, it's not just an ideal that we're striving for. It's based on an historical fact that God has forgiven us in Christ by going to the cross and dying for us while we were still his enemies. Talk about a motive for forgiveness or the power to forgive. What does this have to do with us? The God who humbled himself to come down and be born as a baby in a manger is lifting us up to be able to sit on his throne. It's God in human language, Christmas is. The readings today, the psalm, the prophecy, talks about, listen to it, what Isaiah says, your sentinels shout for joy. Why? Not just because they hope that the Lord will restore his people, not just because they wish for good things to happen. It says, for they see directly before their eyes the Lord restoring Zion. Christianity is a very concrete, physical kind of religion. There's a baby born today who is God. Everything that Jesus says are the words of God. All the actions he performs are the actions of Almighty God. We want to know what God thinks. Look at Jesus. We don't have to figure it out by some complicated formula or go into some kind of trance or have some kind of mystical experience. This is what Christmas is about. He makes it ordinary for us to be able to know what he's thinking and know what he wants. Because we look at a fellow human being. He's a divine person, but he shares a human body, a human soul, a human life, and he's able to speak in human language and eat with the disciples and show them things that help them to understand what we have to do in this life. We're seeing it directly before our eyes. That's Christmas, God in human language. And so what, the third question, what happened at Christmas, how does it involve us? What do we do about all this? How do we respond? Well, we respond, first of all, in obedience. Because if every word that this child grows up to say and every action that he grows up to do are, in fact, the words and actions of God, we've got to follow him. We can no longer live in such a way that we think that what's good or what's bad or what's right or what's wrong is just up to us to decide. We can't live that way. We can't think that way anymore. Or that, and when it comes to religion, you know, one religion is as good as the next. We can't think that way anymore because they're not. There is a truth that has been revealed today. There is a word that has been spoken. It has become flesh. And so we've got to say, you know, we've got to adhere to this truth now. And if it's true, we have to proclaim it to others. What do we do about this? We obey. We proclaim. We become spokespersons for Christ. Sharers, evangelists, sharers of his gospel. And what we also do is we welcome other human beings just as he has welcomed us. Jesus, in his birth, in his incarnation, does not simply unite some human beings to God. Last night in the Christmas midnight gospel, we hear the words of the angels to the shepherds. What they say is, today I proclaim you a great joy, which shall be for all the people. Not just all the people at that time and that place, but for all the people of all time and every place since Adam and Eve, right down to the last human being who will ever be created. God welcomes all humanity in the incarnation. He has joined every human being, even those who don't know about him yet, even those who don't yet believe in him. He has joined all humanity by virtue of their humanity to himself, thanks to Christmas. And that means we must welcome all human beings also. We look at the dignity of other human beings, no matter what the differences are. We don't let the differences blind us to the dignity, the equal dignity of everyone. And those in our society who are the most deprived of that dignity are the unborn. Little babies in the womb, even by people who talk about equal rights and justice and peace and nonviolence and equality, so easily forget them. A whole segment of our human family right now, we've got a blind spot. We've got a sickness that Christmas can and must heal, but we have to respond in order to let God heal this sickness and this blindness that regards the children in the womb as not even being there, not even being real. How can we say they're not real when we're living in an age where we can see these children and we know more about these children than we ever have in human history? How can we continue to remain blind to them? When Jesus himself was an unborn child, Jesus himself was born as a baby, maybe he's trying to tell us something, that it's time to pay attention to these children and to pay attention to his words wherein he said, that you welcome a little child, you welcome me. To these children belongs the kingdom of heaven. So if God welcomes all human beings today to be united with his divinity as he shares our humanity, and that this is the basis of the exchange of gifts, this is the meaning of the exchange of gifts, well, then maybe it's time that we become more active in defending the most defenseless. We love everybody. We defend everybody. We want to see everybody have their equal rights. But this is a group of people more oppressed than anyone else. And that's why I know so many of you are active in the pro-life movement. We can't say that we're pursuing justice and peace on earth if we're throwing babies away in the garbage by abortion, or we're tolerating or allowing that to happen. What must we do about this? We must be active in changing the world. He appears in the flesh. He takes on our human nature. He speaks it to us in human language to tell us about the ways of God. But then he entrusts the mission to us to change this world. And we've got to become active, active in service, active in proclaiming the gospel, active in pro-life, and yes, active also in politics. We have been through, and we are still in the midst of a very contentious and consequential election here in the United States. And brothers and sisters, we've got to be active. Christmas calls us to take action and to be involved, not just to watch things happen, not just to wish for things to happen, but to will that they happen, to actually pick up the mission God gives us, utilize the tools that he entrusts to us, and transform this world into the place of justice and life and love and peace and truth that Christ wants it to be. I recently sent out a postcard because you know there are special elections taking place in Georgia right now for not one but two United States Senate seats, and it just so happens, because of the balance of power right now, that these two races will determine really the fate of the entire country, which party controls the Senate. So it's not just about Georgia, it's about the whole country. And it'll determine what party controls the United States Senate, what kind of laws, therefore, can be passed or blocked. And the philosophies of the Democrat and Republican Party are very different. So, I sent out a postcard. Here it is right here, a little yellow postcard to people in Georgia. And I said, it's up to you. Please elect Senators Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue. Those are the two incumbent Republican senators. Help their campaigns and get other voters on board. So you see, this is a simple message. I give some other information on it. It's a simple message that, hey, do something. Don't just sit back and wish for something to happen. Christmas is about us being compelled to get involved. Christ came to set us free and to save us and to bring justice, peace into the world. Well, he's given us the tools and the call to work with him to do that. So a lot of people took action on this and are taking action and thanked me for speaking up because they see a lot of their pastors not speaking up. They said, thank you, Father, for speaking up and calling us to action. But then I got this postcard back. And addressed to a guy named Robert in Georgia. And he writes over the words on the postcard, he writes in a black marker, "Go to a church and pray." Well, I've got news for you, Robert. If you're trying to say that going to a church and praying is important and essential, I could not agree more. Of course, we pray. We must pray. We must go to church. But if, Robert, you're trying to say that going to a church and praying is all that we're supposed to do, if you're trying to somehow say that there's something wrong with me saying it's up to you, help the campaigns of these candidates, get other voters on board, well, that's one of the biggest mistakes that we can possibly make, to think that because we believe, we're simply supposed to retreat into the four walls of the church and engage in prayer, powerful as it is, we have to do that. But if we stay there and we don't let that prayer impel us into doing something, well, then we're making a mockery of Christmas. Why didn't God just stay up in heaven? The Son pray to the Father and save us like that. Don't you see the point there, Robert and everybody else? He jumped in to our human history. He did something. You know, the baby who was born goes on and he preaches and he does miracles and he multiplies the bread and he raises the dead and he makes the blind see and the mute speak and the lame dance. And he gathers apostles and he trains them and he establishes a church. And then he goes to the cross and then he rises from the dead and he teaches them some more. And then he ascends into heaven and then he sends the Holy Spirit. He does something. He could have just stayed up in heaven, I guess, and just, you know, sent us a blessing. And then people who think, oh, well, you know, we'll just go to church and pray. Don't get too involved in politics. Don't get too involved in these other things. What a mistake that is. What a sad dilution of the very meaning of this day. Where, as the prophet tells us again, they see directly before their eyes the Lord restoring Zion. They see it directly before their eyes. This is not just a matter of wishful thinking. No, this is not wishful thinking. Christmas is meant to light a fire in us, a passion. To go into the world and to change it. Yes, including in the world of politics. And it means we open our mouths. We don't just sit back and hope that people will come to the right conclusion. And maybe someone will do something. We do it. And we empower one another to do it. Why did he come in the first place? If this is not what he wants us to do. So brothers and sisters, let's take hold of our Christmas gift today. We have a share in God's own nature, and he has equipped us to change this world. Let's encourage one another to do exactly that. Open up your Christmas gift. Open up those gifts of the Holy Spirit that allow you to speak the truth, that allow you to intervene to help the unborn and to speak up for justice and to go into that voting booth and elect the kind of people who are going to bring this country in the right direction. Let's use our Christmas gifts. And let's again welcome with joy the light that has come into the world. A light, as the gospel told us today, that shines on in the darkness. A darkness that has not, cannot, and will not overcome it. Merry Christmas to you all, and God bless you.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.